The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I identify myself as a Bible-believing, unashamed follower of Jesus Christ. I believe the Bible, I follow Jesus, and I'm not ashamed to say so. The answer is not in the next election. The answer is not in Washington, D.C. The answer to America's problems is in the pulpit and the pews of America's churches. That's what we do here daily on Bob Burney Live. We listen, we think, and then we look at the Word of God, evaluate it, and develop our worldview from God's point of view.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and may not be the views or opinions of the staff, management, or advertisers of WRFD.
Isn't it strange how that you take two pieces of material, you can take wood, you can take plastic, you can take anything, and you can put them in any configuration until you put them perpendicular to each other and make a cross? The Word of God. Read it. Obey it. That is the answer to America's problems.
Call 1-877-BOB-LIVE. Bob Burney Live.
And welcome to Bob Burney Live. Thank you for joining me on this Thursday afternoon. And I welcome our listeners in Columbus, Ohio, listening on The Word, AM 880, WRFD, and 104.5 FM. But once again, we also have the privilege of welcoming our listeners in Tampa, Florida, on Faith Talk 570 and 910 AM. Welcome to the program today. It is a delight, privilege, and an honor to be your host, and I do not take lightly the fact that you have, I start to say dozens, you actually have hundreds of choices and listening, viewing, and so forth, and you have chosen to spend some time with us today. And I'm going to do my best to make it profitable. I don't want you to waste your time, and I'm not planning on wasting my time. I want to begin with something that's very near and dear to my heart, and that's the local church. Some know this, some don't. Had the privilege of pastoring a wonderful church for 25 years. My wife and I had the privilege of actually planting a church. Yeah, I'm not going to give you the year. It was many years ago. Had a wonderful ministry there. And now my wife and I, almost every weekend, minister in a local church somewhere, primarily here in the Midwest, but we've ministered to local churches all over the country. I am absolutely convinced that the local church is God's plan for the world today. I believe that. God uses many institutions. God uses all kinds of people, people, individuals, groups. But the local church is where God's heart is. Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, I understand that the universal church exists doctrinally. Every born-again believer on planet Earth is a member of the body of Christ, the universal church. So I acknowledge that. Doctrinally, theologically, the universal church exists. However, it doesn't take a whole lot of study of Scripture or common sense in studying Scripture to realize everything that God has commanded us to do is through a local church, not the universal church. but local churches. Most of the commandments given to the church by Jesus can only be accomplished through a local church. And I'm going to get to the story, I promise. I'm going to get to the story. But let me just repeat something that I have said literally thousands of times over the last 50 years. I double dog dare you to show me anything that God accomplished in the New Testament that was not done by, through, or for a local church. I have made that statement on the radio hundreds and hundreds of times, maybe thousands of times. I've said it to big groups, small groups. I've said it to gatherings of thousands and to individuals. And so far, after all of these years, not one single person has given me an exception of this statement. Everything that God accomplished in the New Testament was by, through, or for a local church. Now, if you can give me an exception, that'd be fine. You'd be the first. But I'd love to hear from you. Now, I went through all that to get to this brand new poll. Headline, poll suggests some churchgoers still cowering from COVID. Pretty apt headline. Some churchgoers still cowering from COVID. A brand new poll found a good majority, 73%, said that they plan to attend church services in coming weeks. Now, these are people who were regular churchgoers before COVID. That's very important to note that. These are people who were regular churchgoers before COVID. 73% say, yeah, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to go back to church. But 27% said they have no plans of returning. 27% said, nah, we're not going back. It's too dangerous. We don't need the local church. Now, if you heard what I said previously about what God thinks of the local church, what Scripture teaches about the local church, it should be quite disturbing that 27% of people who regularly attended church before COVID has now decided, I'm not going to go. May I quickly add, if there is some reason that you absolutely cannot get to a local church, you are housebound, you are disabled, and you can't get there, I understand and praise God for TV and streaming and all of that. But my friend, if you can get to a local church, you better get there. Scripture says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. But we could get COVID. Well, yeah, you could get struck by lightning on your way to church too. You get a car accident on your way to church. You could pull into the parking lot and have a heart attack. I've had the privilege, and I mean this, the God-blessed privilege of traveling all over the world. And here is something that I have seen. Christians all over the world risk their lives to assemble together. China. I don't know when I'll get to it, but somewhere in my stack today, I've got an incredible story out of China. What the communist Chinese government is requiring local churches to do, which is driving more and more people into underground churches. They're meeting, but they're risking arrest. They're risking prison just to get together in a church service. I have been with some incredible Christians in Nigeria who literally risk their lives every time they go to church, and yet they do. I've been in Cambodia areas of Cambodia that are still very dangerous for churchgoers, and those folks risk their lives every time they get together. I've been in Russia and heard the stories of the old Soviet Union days when Christians risked their family, their life, just to get together, to assemble together in a church. I've been to Moldova, a previous communist country where people had risked their lives to get together and go to church. Today, this weekend, Christians all over the world believe that it is so important to get together with other believers that they will risk their lives to assemble together. And a whole bunch of American Christians will say, "Yeah, I'm a little tired. It's raining outside. Had a bad week, you know. And I could get COVID." Really? Hey. Time to get back in church. There are risks in everything you do. There's no such thing as living without risk. I don't think we should accept unreasonable risk. But today, going to church? Nah. Get back to church, folks.
Bob Burney Live. Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
And welcome back to Bob Burney Live. And we're on in Columbus, we're on in Tampa, but I have a little local Ohio news. So those of you in Tampa, bear with me just for a moment. Although you may find this interesting. A lot of debate this fall about colleges and universities. Can they require students to be vaccinated before they return to campus? And not just colleges and universities, high schools, middle schools, and so forth. Can schools require students to be vaccinated? Well, here in Ohio, at least four. Now that question has been settled. Our Governor Mike DeWine yesterday signed into law a law that prohibits public K through 12 schools, colleges, and universities. Now, here's where it's really important. From requiring people to get a vaccine if that vaccine does not have, and I'm quoting, full approval by the Food and Drug Administration. Now, there's a lot of debate all over the country, here in Ohio, and I'm sure in Florida as well, about mandatory vaccinations of all kind. A lot of debate about that, and that debate has been raging for years and will continue. But the COVID-19 vaccine, the debate has been particularly hot. Well, the law signed into law, a little redundant, I guess, but the piece of legislation signed into law by our Ohio governor yesterday forbids any public K through 12 college or university to require a vaccine that does not have full approval by the Food and Drug Administration. Now, right now, that would only be the COVID-19 vaccines because they are operating under emergency use authorization by the FDA. And sometimes we forget that. The COVID-19 vaccine has become so common that we sometimes forget it has not yet, none of them have yet received full approval by the Food and Drug Administration. It is still emergency use authorization. Okay. Now, there is a push on the FDA. Hey, what are you waiting on? If these vaccines are really safe, as you say they are, as the manufacturers say they are, as the scientific community says they are, then why don't you give them full approval? What are you waiting on? And the FDA has said nothing as yet. So this law in Ohio only applies to the COVID-19 vaccines, and it means no school, public school in the state of Ohio can require any student to be vaccinated before they can return to school, return to campus, and so on and so forth. When, and I guess if, the FDA gives full approval to the COVID-19 vaccines, it will become a moot point and the law will be meaningless. So we will see. Here's a story that I have been following. It's a story of Judge Wayne Mack in Texas. He is a judge in Montgomery County, Texas, and for quite some time, he has been establishing a volunteer chaplain effort in his courtrooms. It is completely voluntary. Nobody that comes into his courtroom has to listen to the chaplain's prayer. And not only that, the judge himself is not in the courtroom when the voluntary chaplain offers his prayer. So it is voluntary on the chaplain's sake. It is voluntary on the defendant's sake. It is voluntary on the judge's sake. But the Freedom From Religion Foundation has been crying, separation of church and state, separation of church and state, filed a lawsuit, and a lower court ruled in favor of the Freedom From Religion Foundation and said to the judge, you can't have a chaplain in your courtroom. Well, First Liberty Institute, a fine Christian civil liberty organization, has been representing the judge, and they have now gone to the Fifth Circuit Court, and the Fifth Circuit Court has said, wait a minute, the judge, quote, has made a strong showing that the lower court had erred. It's a 23-page ruling from the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. And the court order states it is undisputed that Judge Mack, by contrast, has taken multiple steps to facilitate non-participation in his opening ceremonies. Moreover, it's undisputed that Judge Mack's opening ceremonies are open to chaplains of all faiths, not just Christians. And so the Fifth Circuit has issued a temporary injunction allowing Judge Wayne Mack to have his courtroom opened in prayer by a voluntary chaplain. You can bet that the Freedom From Religion Foundation is going to appeal that. But for now, Judge Wayne Mack can begin his court proceedings each day with prayer. Hey, if you were listening yesterday, I issued a wish. Yeah, my wish came true. I'll tell you what it was when we come back.